CBS Monday.
NCIS! Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii, Monday, starting at 9, 8 central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
I'm doing great, man.
Yeah, you know, start off with the announcement of what happened with Coach Lake, and then from there it's just a matter of us as coaches getting our guys refocused on the task at hand and, you know, make sure we get them prepared for this Saturday against Arizona State.
Have you and Bob discussed who's going to be calling plays this weekend, or how's that going to be handled?
We have not. I mean, because Gregory's right now making sure he can figure out what's best for the team as we get them prepared for Arizona State. You know, I think when that time comes, then he'll decide and it will move forward from there.
And I assume that before games, you guys address each position group individually, or, I mean, does Jimmy normally address the team? I mean, is that something that, when there's all these changes that are going on, is that kind of difficult to determine, you know, who's going to be the voice in the room before a game you guys still have to play?
Well, Coach Gregory is right now our head coach, you know, for this week. And so anything that Coach Lake would have done, Coach Gregory is doing. We're trying to keep things as similar as possible. And then when we get to our position meetings, he's been at his position meetings and out on the field. He's been calling defenses as well as trying to be the head coach as well. So, he's the one coach that got the double duties. But for the kids, we want them to feel that everything's exactly the same in terms of the process of what we're doing. You know, the most important thing is making sure we as coaches are getting these kids ready for Saturday.
I was kind of curious about the reaction of the room up to the news. And was it a shock? Was it surprise? Sadness? What was it?
I think initially shocked. You know, we all found out on Monday morning about what happened with Coach Lake. And I think as soon as that was done, we separated in position meetings so we could talk to these players and get them refocused, regrouped on the task at hand, you know, really, regardless of what happens. We use the whole phrase, next man up, and that's kind of the approach we're taking right now. You know, the sun was up this morning. We got back out on the practice field, try to get better today, and then make sure we keep tweaking things to give us the best game plan for Saturday.
I know it's probably difficult to maybe forecast, but does a situation like this galvanize a program?
I think that depends on the players, you know, all the players on how they react to our coaching, our approach to it. And I think that to me is the biggest focus for us, making sure that they, regardless of the situation, that those guys stay united, they stay focused, making sure they're still preparing the correct way. Because ultimately it comes down to those guys being on the field on Saturday and then executing to win this game, you know, regardless of what happens. With the Coach Lake situation, regardless of how we approach it, it comes back to this team playing for this team on Saturday, you know, and getting the victory. That's what they want. They want to win on Saturday. So, you know, us as coaches are gonna back that feeling and make sure we do our part as coaches. And then Saturday, those guys will come out and play hard.
I mean, I know part of the role is almost kind of you got to man manage these players as well and love them up and stuff like that. Does that take even a greater role when there's such a big shock and there's a change at the top like it happened?
Yeah, you know, not necessarily. You know, we have a leadership council that does a great job. You know, so they're the middleman between coaches and players. And those guys already are starting to refocus the bond of everybody. And then, you know, we as coaches, we do so much bonding stuff with our players. You know, we do dinners. I mean, I got a dinner coming up on Thursday. And Coach Huff, you know, we'll come up here and he does it all the time with the O-line. So that communication, that bonding already, I think translates to the bond that we have with our players. And that, I think, pushes towards Saturday. You know, there's still the common goals of how we teach, how we coach, and then the bonding between not only position group, but as a team. You know, all those things carry over to the team.
I was also curious about, you mentioned the players and just their role in all this. Who do you have to lean on now? Is it as easy to say Zion when a player like Ryan Bowman is out? I know he's still probably an influence in the room.
Yeah.
But on the field, does a guy like Zion take on an even greater role because you lose Ryan Bowman?
Yeah, absolutely. Specifically Zion. You know, Ryan Bowman was the leader of my group specifically. And then, you know, so Zion will be what we call next man up. You know, no different than what's going on right now with the coach situation. That's Zion's job. Zion's job is to go and be the verbal communicator, which he has not, but he's accepted that role and taken that on. And then, but not changing what he does on the field, his responsibilities and what we expect him to do for the package, that won't change. But picking up where Rhino left off, that's what that has to change. You know, for Zion, he has to be that verbal leadership guy. You know, he has to be that verbal guy in our room, and I think he's doing a pretty good job.
I know the $64 question, especially on the front,
yeah,
is the rush defense.
Yep.
You give up 200 yards to Travis Dye, and now you've got Rashad White coming in. He's off a 200-yard game.
Absolutely.
It feels like the game plan should be simple enough on paper. How do you maybe adapt or change who you are when you're in, you know, 10 games in the season almost?
Well, yeah, I think you're right. I think the game plan is simple. We're trying to execute something to stop the run. You know, that to me will basically fall on coaches, you know, myself included, coach of the defensive line, coach of the outside linebackers. We just got to be more physical, and then we got to execute our technique. You know, at this point in time where we are in our season, there is no such thing. I think I said in the beginning of the year, just the inexperience of our players, and there's no such thing as that at this point. You know, so for me, I just got to do a better job coaching it. You know, we got to emphasize what we're trying to create and then have the stamina to do it in the fourth quarter. You know, in the fourth quarter, that's when, you know, fatigue set in and we're not executing the technique exactly how we're coached to do it. And that's really my job. That's my job. I got to get my players to do that. And it's a reflection of me.
I know you guys take so much pride as a defensive staff in eliminating big plays. And obviously the scheme is a big part of that, keeping everything in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
But with you know, that might take a man out of the box or not allow you guys to maybe, you know, be able to clog things up as much as maybe you'd like. Is there going to have to be some more give and take? I know you guys have already tried to add more defensive linemen in the box and do some other things. Do you feel like even more tweaks to the scheme are necessary?
I think Coach Gregory does a good job in trying to tweak things as we go on, move forward. And, you know, yeah, we're going to tweak some stuff and see if we can add on, see if we can subtract, see if we can disguise. But, you know, ultimately it does come back to our technique. It really does. You know, we can throw as many guys as we want in the box, but we still got to execute the technique. And to me, that was my focus in coaching this week, is making sure that that does not fail us when we come Saturday, regardless of the call.
With the outside linebacker group specifically, who of the group of, you know, Cooper, Savelle, Braylon, Lolopea,
yeah,
some of that group, who do you feel has made the biggest strides and is maybe ready for that breakout performance?
You know, I think in the last week, Braylon has made a lot of strides. You know, he's accepted his role in terms of pass rush. He's accepted his role in terms of the run game. He's really, really physical up front. You know, I would expect good things from him now moving forward. But I think the group as a whole is getting better. You know, if you really watch those guys each week, they're improving from play to play. Something that they were very inexperienced in the Michigan game. You know, last week, I think they showed up and they did their responsibilities as best they could. So I think as a group, they're improving. And for me, you know, I say it on Zion. Zion's the most experienced in our group. And I put a lot of ownership on him to making sure he carries this group forward.
And with a guy like Jalen Daniels, he's another in that role of DTR,
yeah,
and Brown and some of these other barbers and some of these other guys.
Mm-hmm.
What's the key?
Keeping them in front and inside. I mean, it's really hard to simulate what he brings to the table. I mean, he's fast, he's quick, he's got an arm. You know, do you let him throw it? Do you try to get him out of the pocket? You know, he poses so many problems, and he's part of the run game. You know, there's 11 guys now. There's 11 man versus 11 man because the threat that he has is a runner. You know, so, you know, he's obviously the guy that we gotta figure out. We got to continue to figure out a plan to make sure we can keep him in the pocket, put some pressure on him, you know, make him at least make some quicker decisions than normal. But that will be an issue come Saturday. I mean, that's something that we have focused on a lot. But he's a really, really gifted athlete, good player, leader of that team. So we got our hands full on Saturday.
Okay, so what makes an elite outside linebacker?
Being able to play the run like a defensive lineman, being able to play a pass like a DB. You know, we are the conflict player. You know, you're required to do both. And I think we have some guys that have the tools, but to be able to execute all at one point in time, that's the challenge for an elite outside linebacker. You know, when they're playing the run, we have to look like those guys inside with the Takis and the Tuis. And then when we're playing pass, because we do drop out, then we got to look like our safeties. We have to be able to cover backs one-on-one. We have to be able to drop 12 yards deep. And that, to me, makes it an elite outside linebacker in our particular defense.
Hey, Patrick, real quick, Thursday dinner, what's on the menu?
Colby, Mac salad. My wife likes to make desserts, so I'll leave that special for her. And then I'll make some baked beans. So this is going to be rice. So this is going to be, for sure, if we do anything right, we'll be eating right this week, for sure.
Well, I know, Scott, you love the barbecue, and you love the, are you getting your guys together this week?
We did last, I guess 2 weeks ago for Halloween. They come over and we carve pumpkins. We have a pumpkin carving contest, and we feed them. A little harder to cook during the season, because we it takes a long time to get ready for them, but my wife does an amazing job during the season, and I try to make up for it in the off season when we got a little bit more time.
I know the big question surrounding what happened with Coach Lake and obviously with Rube Rocket is that, going to the tape, you seem to be the coach that was closest to him, and yet it looked like you were already kind of to the next play, like you were already getting your linemen together and stuff. I was just wondering for your opinion, your take on kind of what you saw and what you experienced in that moment.
Yeah, it's obviously unfortunate, and really I'm the guy that gets the offense off the sideline, and I believe we were in a kickoff return, and so we were getting ready to, you know, get the O-line out there, get the play called and everything else. So yeah, it's just unfortunate.
Yeah, it just looked like business is normal the way you
yeah business is normal. Yep, trying to get off the field, get the offense on and get rolling.
So in other words, you didn't notice anything unusual. It just seemed like
traffic, everybody
separated.
No, yep, yeah. It's quite a chore sometimes, as you can imagine, to get the personnel, get the guys rallied, get the play call in, just get everybody off to hopefully a good start of the drive. And so,
yeah. How long was it before you realized that something had happened?
I think it was Sunday, maybe Sunday, and then obviously found out Monday morning, meeting with Jen. So, yeah.
You've worked with a lot of these guys for a long time. How do you think that your familiarity with other coaches prepares you for kind of an adverse moment like this?
Yeah, we spend a lot of time together. You're right. Coach Bonifa and I have been together for a really long time. Coach Adams and I worked together at Boise State under Brian Harsin, before coming here. We're like family, and I think we're very familiar with each other. We know the things that we like and that we've done in the past, and things of that nature. So you're going to go through something like this, you certainly want to go through it with the guys that you love and respect, and all those guys in that room. We've been with Coach Cato for a long time, and so, yeah, we're ready to roll.
And what do you think this season that you've been – when do you think you've been most successful running the ball?
It's definitely been too inconsistent. I think the Stanford game, we got off to a pretty good start there. You got me kind of reeling right now. I'm trying to think. We've definitely had our moments, and then we've had our moments where it wasn't good enough. And so, I guess I'm not really answering your question the way you want it, but it's been too inconsistent. Sometimes I think it was maybe not running execution, certainly at times, maybe running a play into a bad look, that's just an uphill look. Probably a combination of those things. I mean, if it was just one thing, I think we would be able to, we've certainly been doing this long enough to be able to figure it out if it's just one thing. And just like I said, it's just been too inconsistent.
With those looks that defenses are giving, and you've kind of seen a lot of different defenses now. I mean, what does ASU bring with their look that you guys are trying to attack this week?
Yeah. So Arizona State is a true 4-3 defense. It's an NFL, true 4-3. They play base personnel, even versus 11. You got a really good front seven that's deep. The three linebackers are all really good players. They're 4D linemen. They rotate a lot of different guys. And I don't know if you remember this or not, but I recruit Arizona, so a lot of the local kids I've recruited in the past, or I know of, So I'm maybe a little bit more familiar with individuals than other defenses, but they are stout up front. They don't try to trick you necessarily with like looks. You know, they kind of line up where they line up. Maybe have a few adjustments, and the challenge is when it comes to running the football, you got to get them off their spots. I mean, they got those two big D tackles, big D ends, and again three really good linebackers, and they got depth at all of them. Unlike a Stanford that really didn't have a ton of depth at those positions up front, which I think you saw, they were pretty beat up in the game after we played them. These guys got a ton of depth, so their depth and their guys are going to stay fresh and they're really talented. So it's a good NFL style defense, and they're not trying to trick you. They're trying to play technique, and you got to move them off their spots.
When there's a midseason change maybe you can't really change your whole playbook around in just 1 week, but with Coach Adams trying to bring in what he wants to do, but also with what you guys already have, I mean, how do you maximize just your offense within these next couple of weeks?
Yeah, well, it's a collaboration, right? And like I said, Junior and I worked together at Boise State with Brian Harsin, and then obviously here. He was at Western Kentucky, with Mike Sanford, another guy that we work for, and so we got a long history together, and we're gonna do. I mean, obviously something's got to change a little bit here, otherwise we wouldn't be in this situation. And so we're collaborating. We're excited. We're gonna do. You'll see. Again, you can't do a wholesale change by any means, but we got to do some things a little bit different.
Scott, how would you characterize kind of the battles at left guard and right tackle? Because we've seen some movement there between Ale and Bulo at left guard, and then obviously Kern is the starter at right tackle, but we've seen a lot of Melee as well.
Yeah, I think I last time, so with MJ, he's a little beat up at the start of the year, and Julius had a really good fall camp, and MJ's been healthy, and he's been playing pretty good, and that's been exciting. And so, that's that situation there. And then with Mateo and Vic, Mateo's just been practicing really good. And I kind of was thinking, all these other guys rotate all the time. Maybe mix it up a little bit and let this guy that's been practicing really well and get some reps. And so that's really that. And it's worked out all right. It really has. And it's kind of been an eye-opening experience. Like, maybe if there are some other guys, that's not a bad thing to do, to let everybody get a little piece of the pie. I mean, there is obviously the continuity thing that you're worried about with the offensive line, but if you practice it during the week, I think for the most part, the guys are all pretty good, good with it, and it hasn't been an issue in a negative way.
Yeah, I know you can't do a deep dive now. I mean, obviously there's so much going on, but yet, when you look at the offense as a whole, 10th in scoring, 10th in total offense in the Pac-12, and I obviously know that the offensive line is just one piece of that, but it feels like it kind of starts there. Have you been able to kind of diagnose some general things that maybe haven't shown up the way that you would have expected going into the season?
Sure. Well, kind of like what we talked about earlier, if it was just one thing, that's really easy to fix. I mean, like I said, I've done this for a long time and been very fortunate. So it's a combination of things. It always comes back to execution, right? Whether that's on the front, communication at times, making sure that everybody's on the same page, because it only takes one guy to not do his job, right? And then everything looks like, crap, right? You got four wide receivers out there and one guy runs the wrong route. Well, the quarterback can move on to the other three, but you got the whole line, one guy doesn't do it. Four guys do it right. And it just doesn't look right. And so, ultimately it falls on me. Right. And, whether it's communication, technique, and just the consistency of the whole thing. If it was just one thing, it would be easy to fix. It hasn't been just one thing. And, at times I think we've played it really good football, and other times it just hasn't been good enough, and we're certainly working hard to fix it every day and make it right.
But is there some slivers in the last week or two that you can point to the guys and say, that shows improvement, that shows growth? What are those areas?
Certainly handling movement in the run game is always an issue for whether you're watching NFL or high school, college. At times we've handled movement well. The other times we haven't handled movement well. We've had making sure that we just hear the call the right way, and that that you know that the center or whoever it is getting everybody on the same page. You know, so there's it's like, honestly, I think it really just comes down to consistency, right? Because there is like there's moments where you put that on tape and you're like, damn, that is, you know, you guys might not know it, but I'm going, oh, that is, you know, rad. Great job. Normally when the O-line makes it look easy, nobody notices, they're kicking butt, right? When it looks hard, it's like, ugh. And there's certainly been those moments where it's like, awesome. And then there's been the ones that like, whew, that's not good enough, fellas, you know, for whatever reason.
With different handedness of your quarterbacks back there taking snaps, how difficult is that for your line for pass protection?
You know, they don't really know any difference. Like you're saying, like with a lefty or a righty or whatever, the terms of the snaps, you know, I think, I don't know what our stats are. We're probably in the, I would say shotgun 60, 70% of the time. And, you know, under center, I mean, that's just reps with the quarterbacks, which they've hopefully been, you know, we rep that all the time. And in terms of the pocket, we're not really set up as an offense to worry about like a quote unquote blind side. I mean, there's blind sides to every protection, depending on which way we're sliding or which way we're going. So, you know, we don't treat it different if you had a lefty or a righty. Yeah, if that answers your question. Yep. Thanks, guys. Hey, the sun's out. Sun's out. I wore sunglasses at practice today.
Baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.